Gilchrist moves over behind Kemp. He goes back to pass again. Runs out to the right.
Still on his feet. Now throws. It's good to Lofton.
At the 10. At the 5. Touchdown! Touchdown!
The John Murphy Show is on the air.
He is sacked. He is brought down by Kiko Alonso. And there's your ball game.
That's game time right there. That's game time right there.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the greatest show in sports.
10-yard line, 5, into the end zone. Touchdown, Leotis, my man!
Hear all the action, all the excitement of Buffalo Bills football, right here on
The John Murphy Show.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, supplying natural gas and electricity to thousands of homes and businesses across Western New York. Tonight on the show, a focus on the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Bob Trumpy, longtime NFL broadcaster, former Cincinnati Bengal tight end. He's getting the Rosette Award for broadcast excellence. He'll be live with us at 7:30. At 8 o'clock, Joe Horrigan, the vice president of communications for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And at 8:30, a preview look at fantasy football with Jamie Eisenberg of CBSSports.com.
This is pandemonium.
At the 10, at the 5, heads to the end zone. Touchdown, C.J.
Live from One Bills Drive, this is the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.
With training camp looming just a couple of days away, we're going to talk about that tonight. We're going to talk about the Pro Football Hall of Fame. We're going to talk with you. Good evening. Welcome for the Tuesday night edition of the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO for this Tuesday, July 15th. 3 days away from report day. 3 days away from when we go to training camp and begin our broadcast this Friday night, 7 to 9 p.m. from St. John Fisher College in Pittsburgh, New York. Beautiful Pittsburgh, New York. It's funny, it struck me, one of our guests last night, Robert Klemko from the MMQB.com, Peter King's website, it's part of SI.com, talking about training camp and the kind of the unique situation the Bills are in. What did he say? One of nine or only 10 teams now that actually go off-site for their training camps? The Bills are one of those teams. I can't imagine what it would be like not to go to training camp. I think the flavor of the season, I think the romance, I think the anticipation would be missing if we didn't have off-site training camp, if we didn't hit the road and go to Pittsburgh. Is it a major undertaking? Absolutely. We're still putting together some of the logistics here just for our stupid little radio show. Imagine the logistics that Jay took offense at that. Imagine the logistics that go into moving 90 players and housing and feeding 90 players and 20 coaches and all the support staff and personnel and hosting thousands of fans who come through there every year. The construction that's gone on already down there in Pittsburgh, New York. Imagine the logistics and what goes into it. It's a lot. I think it's worth it. I think if we didn't go away to training camp, if we did not have off-site training camp, and if the Bills were to start their workouts this Sunday, as they are going to do this Sunday in Pittsburgh, but if those workouts started here at Orchard Park at One Bills Drive, it'd be kind of a ho-hum thing, don't you think? I don't think we'd have the same sort of level of excitement for the upcoming season. I think we'd be looking at, what's the difference? You finished up mini camp about a month ago, and now you start training camp 3 weeks later. I mean, it just wouldn't be that. I think you have that line of demarcation when you pack up, move off, you ship down the road to the beautiful bucolic campus of St. John Fisher with all the amenities that have been put in place there over the 15 years of the Bills' residency at St. John Fisher College. You have even the drive itself. I enjoy the drive itself from time to time. It's the end of summer. It's the onset of the fall and the football season. I think we'd miss that if we didn't have an off-site training camp, if the Bills just trained on-site like, 20-some other teams do. So we're looking forward to it. It's coming up this Friday with our first shows Friday night, 7 o'clock. Friday's the report day for the Buffalo Bills. Saturday is a testing day, a lot of conditioning testing going on, and I'm sure physicals on Saturday. And then Sunday, the first practice, Sunday night, the first practice at 6 o'clock. So we're looking forward to it, looking forward to our stint. It'll be a long one this year with the extra week, but really looking forward to it. We want to talk about that tonight with you. We want to talk about the Pro Football Hall of Fame as well. Let me go through the lineup, what we've got coming up on the show. Bob Trumpy is going to be live with us at 7:30. I'm really excited about that. If you're a NFL fan of a certain age, let's say, 30, 35 years or older, you probably can cite some memorable Bob Trumpy broadcasts in the NFL. I mean, the guy got all the big games, he and Dick Enberg, for a long time. He had two Bills Super Bowls, both of the Cowboys Super Bowls. Bob Trumpy was the color analyst on those. He was the number one team on NBC with Dick Enberg for a long while and spent 30 years in broadcasting. Bob Trumpy, retired now, is going to join us at 7:30 tonight. Because at the Pro Football Hall of Fame in a couple of weeks, he'll be getting the Pete Rozelle Radio Television Award for Excellence in Broadcasting. We're looking forward to talking with Bob Trumpy about his NFL playing career, AFL NFL playing career with the Cincinnati Bengals, and, of course, his tremendous, remarkable broadcast career. He'll be joining us tonight at around 7:30. Coming up at 8 o'clock, more Hall of Fame talk. Our friend Joe Horrigan, who is Vice President of Communications and Exhibits for the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, is going to join us to tell us about everything that goes into that weekend. That's just a couple of weeks away now, including the enshrinement, Andre Reed going in this year, including the Hall of Fame game on Sunday night, the Bills and the New York Giants, but everything else around it and some of the ticket packages that you can buy for yourself. Still tickets available for all of the events. We'll talk with Joe Horgan about that at 8 o'clock tonight. And we'll shift gears at 8:30 and kind of do a little fantasy football preview with a gentleman named Jamie Eisenberg from CBSSports.com. He is one of their fantasy football experts, and he's written a pretty comprehensive look at the Buffalo Bills and the fantasy football prospects for the Buffalo Bills for the upcoming season. He says, don't go to sleep on C.J. Spiller. And we'll dig into that with Jamie Eisenberg coming up at 8:30. Along with that, we appreciate and welcome your phone calls, and the lines are open right now. 803-0550 is the number to call. From outside Buffalo, it's a toll-free call at 1-888-550-2550. And if you'd like to respond via Twitter, we'll take that. Read your tweets on the air. You can do it at John Murphy Show. We are, as we said, 3 days away from our first broadcast from Bills training camp in Pittsburgh, New York. Everybody knows what you're going to look at. We talked about last night, where do your eyes go first when you get to training camp? How about where do your eyes gradually drift off to? And in particular, who's the sleeper of Bill's training camp going into this camp? Who's the unexpected guy who may jump up and either make the roster or put himself in position to make some serious contributions to the Bills this year? Training camp sleeper this year, who do you have? We know our audience on the show. We know we have deep, committed, very interested Bills fans. We know we got people who know the roster, probably can rattle off the names of 70 of the 90 players at least on that roster now. So who are you looking at? Who are you going to keep an eye on as a guy who might challenge for a roster spot or might challenge for more playing time or really might become a guy that they depend on this year? Who do you got? Your training camp sleeper. As we head into training camp, give us a call. Let us know what you think. 803-0550 is the number. Toll free from outside Buffalo. You can reach us at 1-888-550-2550, or you can do it via Twitter at John Murphy Show. Your training camp sleeper going into camp in just 3 days. Who's your training camp sleeper? Who is under the radar? Maybe a no-name player that a lot of Bills fans might not know that you are particularly interested in seeing at training camp this year. I got a few ideas. I got some names I want to throw out there for you. We're going to ask Jay Harris, our producer, for his training camp sleeper. I think maybe the most obvious one, based on his performance in the spring, would be wide receiver Chris Hogan. And to call him a sleeper almost isn't accurate. Chris Hogan had a really outstanding spring minicamp and OTAs. I think he separated himself from the pack of maybe the down-the-roster receivers in camp. If they're going to keep five or six, Chris Hogan's going to have a chance to be the fifth or sixth receiver on this roster based on what he did in training camp. A name that was talked about a lot early in the offseason, hasn't been mentioned much, tight end Tony Moyaki, I think, is a sleeper candidate to make the roster, sure, but maybe even to be a major contributor this year. So I would throw his name in there. A guy that I like a lot, a guy I've been talking about since the OTAs and minicamp, the running back, Boobie Dixon, who they acquired from San Francisco in free agency. I think he has a chance to be an impact player, at least at the very least, an important role player for the Buffalo offense this year. Another sleeper candidate for me would be seventh-round draft pick Shontell Henderson from Louisville, who came in, or from Miami, rather, who came in and got reps at start with the ones at left tackle towards the end of the minicamp just a couple of weeks ago. Those would be some of them, but I have settled on my number one sleeper candidate for the Bills going into training camp in just 3 or 4 days. You ready? Have you heard this name? Kenny Ladler, safety from Vanderbilt. He wears number 31. Oh, I wanted to throw in another name, too, Ty Powell, linebacker. Oh, Jay, was that yours, Ty Powell?
John, go ahead. I got to start over.
All right, no, make the case for Ty Powell as your sleeper.
Just with the uncertainty where the linebacker role outside of Brandon Sparks Spikes fits, I think he could get some playing time and also contribute on special teams like he did last year. Outside of Marcus Easley, I think he was a big-time contributor on special teams. But if you're going to force me to pick somebody else, I can. So,
No. Ty Powell's a good one. Okay. I'm sorry to throw that in at the end.
No, it's all right. I'm glad I cut you off.
Yeah. Kenny Landler's my guy, my sleeper going into training camp. Undrafted rookie free agent out of Vanderbilt. The reason he was undrafted, you know, he's a safety. The size isn't great. 6 foot tall, about 207 pounds. The speed, he did not time out well. 5.13 in the 40-yard dash. He is a product of the Atlanta, Georgia area, Stone Mountain, Georgia, just outside Atlanta. He went to Vanderbilt, had really good years at Vanderbilt. In fact, he led the Commodores in tackles the last 2 years. And that is like an NCAA record, I think. He forced five fumbles in his career at Vanderbilt, tied for most in the NFL. I'm sorry, forced five fumbles just last year. Led him in tackles, led him in interceptions, 65 solo tackles, second in the SEC. Kenny Landler, I think, is a guy who has shown well in the OTAs and minicamp, and a guy who I think could have a role to play for the Buffalo Bills as a backup, as a depth player on the defensive side of the ball. Safety, Kenny Landler, number 31. You may have heard a little bit about him. But look over that roster. I know a lot of you know the roster already. Kenny Landler does not have great speed. Played at Vanderbilt on a pretty good Vanderbilt team last year. But he is very athletic. I think he can cover extremely well. I think his size is adequate. And I think he's a guy who could make his mark at training camp. Kenny Landler, Bills safety, free safety mostly, out of Vanderbilt in the SEC. Yeah, Jay, you wanted to add somebody?
Well, I got a text message here from a good friend of ours, Paul Peck.
Yes.
Who is the play-by-play voice of the UB Bulls.
Yes.
He saw Cyril Richardson play against UB. Says he's my sleeper to emerge and maybe push to start.
Maybe.
So there's some input from Paul Peck.
Okay, we appreciate Paul's input. Yes, it is. You know, there is some depth on that offensive line, and Cyril Richardson, I think, kind of figures into the mix at guard. If he's going to start, he's going to have to unseat, I would think, Urbick or Chris Williams, and both of them look fairly solid. The three offensive line rookies, I think, are interesting cases because I didn't see a whole lot out of them during the OTAs and minicamp. And I got the sense, just my sense, that not that the coaching staff was disappointed, but they looked at all three of them, seventh-rounder Henderson, fifth-rounder Richardson, second-rounder Quanjo, and said, we got to give these guys more time. More time. We're not going to rush them. Nor do they have to rush them with guys like Urbick in front of them and Chris Williams, guys who played in the league. Cordy Glenn, you know, that's not a bad offensive line for the Bills. Chris Hairston, I think, has something to say about who's going to make the team on the offensive line. So, yeah, Richardson, could he, was he going to make the roster? I would think so. A practice squad at the very least. Is he going to be a contributor? Maybe. But there's some traffic in front of him, some players in front of him. Let's hear from you. Give us a call. The phone lines are open. 803-0550 is the number. Toll free, 1-888-550-2550. You can do it via Twitter. You can reach out and follow us on Twitter at John Murphy Show. Your training camp sleeper going into camp. Who do you think is not on really anybody's radar right now has a chance to either make the team or make big contributions for the Buffalo Bills this year? Ring us up. There's a line open for you at 803-0550 or from outside Buffalo, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. We start with Tim in Cheektowaga. Tim, who's your training camp sleeper?
Well, John, you touched on him because you're very knowledgeable on the team, but I really think that they brought in Williams and they had Urbick, but everyone forgot about, you know, Chris Hairston. Mm-hmm. I think everyone last year forgot about him. I think the three of them are going to battle, and two of them get spots, and the one's going to be the backup. Or they cut one because of what they signed Williams for. I really think Hairston has the potential to do some terrific things.
Well, it's all going to be about the health for Chris Hairston, isn't it, Tim?
Yeah, without a doubt, John. Without a doubt. But when he did, I mean, you know, a fourth-round pick, what was he, Virginia?
I got to look that up, isn't it?
I think it was Virginia Cavaliers, a fourth-round pick, and we put him to tackle, and he fared fairly well for himself on a bad team. So I think he has the potential to come back on this team and do good things. So.
He's a Clemson guy, of course.
Clemson.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he played tackle. He's got some starts. Thanks for your call, Tim. He's got some starts and some, you know, some playing time in the league. We talked with Chris Hairston during the OTAs. He will admit that he lost a lot by sitting out last year with his illness. And he would admit, I think he admitted to us in the studio here, that he needs to get into football condition in order to make a run at a roster spot and maybe make a run at significant playing time. But he's a guy to watch, a very interesting guy to watch because of, mainly because of, the experience that he has. I think that's a good name. Your training camp sleeper, give us a call. Let us know who you think it might be. 803-0550 is the number. Toll free 1-888-550-2550. We'll go to Bill in Orchard Park. Bill, who's your training camp sleeper?
Hey, Murph. I like how you mentioned Moliaki. I saw some good stuff out of him when he was on Kansas City. I didn't get a chance to see him yet last year, though. But I also like Bradham. I liked a lot of stuff I saw out of him in college, some big hits. He hasn't got on the field much. Do you think he'll get a chance to show what he's got this year? Who do you think are our top starting running backs? Or, sorry, linebackers?
Yeah, well, obviously with the injury to Kiko, Bill, everything's kind of thrown up in the air, the unfortunate injury to Kiko. But certainly Nigel Bradham's going to get a chance to play and probably play more now with Kiko Alonso out. I think, you know, Ty Powell, who Jay mentioned a minute ago, is his training camp sleeper, is going to get more reps. I know that Preston Brown has been mentioned, but I don't think I don't know that he can fit into the outside spot. I think Keith Rivers is another guy who may not be on a lot of people's radar. And Keith Rivers is a guy who, you know, the unrestricted free agent who came over from the Giants. He's a guy who's going to get some reps now with Kiko out, even more and more reps. So those are, I mean, your starters right now with Kiko out, to my mind, would be Keith Rivers, Brandon Spikes in the middle, and probably Nigel Bradham on the outside. But Ty Powell's going to get some reps. Preston Brown's going to get some reps. And we'll see how it plays out from there. Talking about training camp sleepers, who do you think it'll be? Give us a call, 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. You can do it via Twitter as well. And we had, you know, we talked about the offensive lineman a minute ago. And, Jay, you mentioned that our pal Paul Peck was talking about Cyril Richardson. And believe me, I think Cyril Richardson could be a player. I don't know that this year he's going to be a major contributor. I could be wrong about that. I just think, as I said, I kind of lumped the three of them all together, Richardson, Quanjo, and Chantrell Henderson, and got the sense from the OTAs and minicamp, for whatever that's worth, and that's all we have so far, I got the sense that there's still some progress to be made by all three of them, including Cyril Richardson. So,
yeah,
we'll see.
It's up in the air with those three. You just don't know, and there's depth now on that offensive line, and there's a lot to I guess, push for different positions. So it'll be interesting to see at all positions, you know, guard, tackle, on both sides. So it's up in the air, but that's what training camp's all about. That's why we're asking this.
That's why we're asking. Who's the training camp sleeper? Who's the guy who may not be on the tip of everybody's tongue, but a guy who could either make the roster or be a contributor for the Bills this year? Give us a call. The lines are open, 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Couple of tweets on this issue. Nick tweets in, all eyes on linebacker depth and safety. Sleeper would have to be T.J. Graham. I don't know. I mean, does he qualify for the for as much, you know, I mean, C.J.'s been around here for a couple of years now. Does he qualify as a training camp sleeper? We know who he is. I think we all acknowledge that he's going to have to battle for a roster spot. I don't know if he's a sleeper. I mean, by sleeper, I mean a guy who, well, maybe you mean this about TJ and when you tweet that in, but I'm thinking of a guy who sneaks up on people that, you know, when we get into the third or fourth preseason game and more fans start to engage, they say, who is that guy? And why is he playing so much? And, wow, look at him make plays. That's what I think of when I think of a sleeper. Bill's number one fan tweets in, Chantrell Henderson. I'm really pulling for this guy to succeed. It's a name I mentioned, too, those three offensive linemen. And it was an eye-opener to see him get those first-team reps at left tackle. Ryan Alexander, my training camp sleeper is Kenny Ladler, undrafted safety from Vanderbilt. He agrees with me. Chris Purdy tweets, Jimmy Gaines and Kenny Ladler. Jimmy Gaines is the Buffalo product, Canisius High School product, linebacker from Miami, who the Bills signed. I think he's got an uphill battle, obviously. Brian Worthy tweets in, wide receiver Kevin Elliott is going to finish what he started last training camp. That's an interesting name. That's a very interesting name. Kevin Elliott opened some eyes with his performance in camp and in the early preseason games, I think early game last year, and then got hurt, I believe, in the second preseason game and was down for the rest of the year. But Kevin Elliott could have something to say about one of those last few spots on the roster at wide receiver. Charlie Oswald tweets in, I'm hoping tight end Moyaki or Greg. I thought about Chris Gregg. In fact, our caller right here thinks about him as a potential sleeper as well. David in Buffalo. Thanks for calling, David. You think Chris Gregg is a sleeper for the Bills this training camp?
Absolutely. I was excited when they drafted him last year just because of his athleticism alone. So if they can really tighten up his game, I think it'd be really exciting to use him more in the passing game this year.
You know, he had some flashes during the spring workouts, the OTAs and minicamp, that he caught my attention. Just getting open, catching the ball, running after the catch. He doesn't have the kind of prototypical size you would hope for in a big target tight end down the field. And let's face it, they have a very reliable pass-catching tight end and very good pass-catching tight end in Scott Chandler. But, yeah, Chris Gregg could be a guy to watch. And do you think, like, could he, when you say he is a sleeper, David, you look for him to unseat Scott Chandler or just be like the second tight end, the complimentary tight end? Where do you see him fitting in?
Well, yeah, hopefully they can make him keep him on the.
Oh, I think we lost him. Thanks, David. Thanks for calling in. But, yeah, I think you're on to something with Chris Gregg as he goes into his second year, a guy who might be a pretty good sleeper candidate. Ken Krause, we're talking about sleepers, and a tweet from Ken Krause. Kevin Elliott, big-bodied guy that can grab that ball. Pulling for Moyaki, too, he has so much potential. Here's an interesting one about sleepers for Bills training camp. Tyler Traub tweets, depending on how the Darius situation goes, Corbin Bryant and Stephon Charles could have opportunities to contribute. That's an interesting take there. Corbin Bryant played a little bit last year, obviously, a defensive tackle from Northwestern in his second year. And Stephon Charles got a chance to show something. Again, both of them, I would think, bottom of the roster type guys, bottom of the depth chart type guys on the interior of the defensive line, but interesting candidates. Your training camp sleeper, who do you think it'll be for the Buffalo Bills this year? We've got the phone lines open on that issue, and the number to call, 803-0550, or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. You can always follow us on Twitter at John Murphy Show if you'd like to weigh in on this. Who do you think it'll be? A sleeper for the Bills training camp, and by sleeper, we mean a guy who may not be on anybody's radar right now, but is going to be on the minds and thoughts of Bills fans about 2 or 3 weeks into the preseason games, and a guy who either is a potential roster candidate or even a candidate to make some waves, to contribute a little bit. That's what we think of when we think of sleepers as the Bills head into training camp. A couple of NFL news notes today. Jimmy Graham did sign that 4-year deal with the New Orleans Saints. The tight end got a 4-year, $40 million deal. It includes $21 million guaranteed, according to ESPN. Jimmy Graham, now the highest paid tight end in NFL history. His deal goes past the one signed in 2008 by former Colts player Dallas Clark. The Cowboys are set to release quarterback Kyle Orton, according to ESPN. He's 31 years old. He missed all of the offseason workouts and was going to be fined close to $70,000 as he contemplates retirement. The move saves the Cowboys $3.25 million. The Cowboys have Brandon Whedon and Caleb Haney on the roster as potential backups now to Tony Romo. Steve Spurrier, talking about Jadeveon Clowney today. Clowney says he never gave any serious thought to sitting out last season, his final college football season, in anticipation of the draft, but he actually was pressed to sit out the season to protect himself from injury, according to his coach, Steve Spurrier. That's what he said at SEC Media Day. Spurrier said, quote, Jadeveon didn't even have to play last year. A lot of people advised him to sit out. He wanted to play. That's kind of interesting, too. Mike Wallace, Dolphins wide receiver, a starter last year, got big money last year. He said that he wants to be back and return kickoffs this year. He told Sky Sports in the United Kingdom that he might be back returning kickoffs. He says he wants to be on the field making an impact, and that might be the best way for him to do it. Mike Wallace, desperate to get on the field for the Miami Dolphins. Some of the NFL news. Very quiet here at One Bills Drive with the transfer to training camp continuing, video equipment being moved down the road to St. John Fisher College in Pittsburgh, New York today. Players arrive on Friday, testing on Saturday, and the first on-field session coming up Sunday night at St. John Fisher College. Going to take a break now, and then when we come back, we're going to be joined by Bob Trumpy, who's going to be honored by the Pro Football Hall of Fame in a couple of weeks as the winner of the Pete Rozelle Radio Television Award. Bob Trumpy up next live with us, the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. Live tonight from One Bills Drive, this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
A couple of weeks away from the Pro Football Hall of Fame enshrinement weekend, and as part of that weekend, they award the Pete Rozelle Award to the outstanding broadcasters in NFL history. A list that includes names like Al Michaels, Chris Berman, Dan Dierdorf, Dick Enberg, Pat Summerall, Kurt Gowdy, our old pal Van Miller, and this year's winner of the Pete Rozelle Radio Television Award, which recognizes longtime exceptional contributions to radio and television and pro football. This year's winner is Bob Trumpy. He is live on the line with us right now from his home outside Cincinnati. Bob, congratulations. What a great honor, and it's well-deserved.
Thank you very much.
Tell me your
complete surprise.
Was it a surprise?
Oh, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a great list, including my buddy Van Miller, who I worked with for several years. I believe Van was the first local broadcaster to win the award, but you're up there with really the best of the best when it comes to NFL broadcasting now.
Sure, and I worked with a lot of those guys, admired a great many of them, and it was a great shock. And actually, I got a call about 2.5 weeks ago, and then I didn't hear anything for 6 or 7 days, and I thought, wait a minute. Maybe they changed their mind. Maybe there's something on the internet that I don't know about. Maybe. And then the next day they called and said, we're putting out the release tomorrow morning. So then I was comfortable.
How could it be a surprise, Bob, when you've done Super Bowls? You were 30 years in broadcasting on major networks covering the biggest of big games. You did Olympics. How could that be a surprise to you?
I don't know. I never really paid attention. I did. It's not something you run for. It never crossed my mind. I'm retired from broadcasting and very comfortable with what I thought were two very successful careers in the NFL and then watching the NFL. I was happy. No problems. It's just not something that as an ex-player, there's always that part of you when your career is over. You think about, well, can you be considered for the Hall of Fame? And I long ago came to the conclusion, I don't think I would ever get consideration for the Hall of Fame as a player because I wasn't a tight end. I was more of a hybrid than I was anything else. The first 6 years, Bill Walsh was my position coach. He had me moving all over the place. Yeah, I was introduced as a tight end. Yeah, I played some tight end, but I was everywhere, and a lot of it against Buffalo. So that never crossed my mind. And broadcasting was my second career, even though I spent three times longer at it. It was my second career. So that's why it never crossed my mind.
We're with Bob Trumpy. He is going into the Hall of Fame as the winner this year, the Pete Rozelle Broadcasting Award. I want to talk about that first career for a second, Bob. A 12th-round pick for the Cincinnati Bengals in their first year. What was that like going to a startup like that?
It was a cattle call. back then, they didn't have a limit on the number of players. In the first 2 years of training camp, 68 and 69 with Paul Brown, we had to have 350, 400 guys through camp. There'd be guys there for breakfast, run a 40 before lunch, and we'd never see them again. And then the guy that won the 40 before lunch would run the 40 before dinner, and somebody else would leave, and there'd be a busload in the next day. It was mayhem. But I got to tell you, John, I had a great advantage going in, even though I was a 12th-round draft choice. When I was drafted, I was living in Southern California with my wife, and I was working at Beneficial Finance collecting bills. And I'm at work one day. My wife said, you just got drafted. And I said, that's impossible. I just got out of the Navy. That can't be. She said, no, by the Cincinnati Bengals. 12th round, telegram from Paul Brown. Next day, I quit Beneficial Finance, and I got a construction job out in the valley. And I drove by a little junior college, and there were some guys working out there. Remember, the draft end was in March.
Yeah.
There were some guys working out there, and they looked like they knew what they were doing. So the next day, I thought after work, I'll stop and see if I can work out with them. Well, I did, and the group was headed by Zeke Bratkowski, Bart Starr's backup.
Sure.
He lived in Sherman Oaks in the off season, so from probably the middle of March to the end of June, 1st of July, we worked out 6 days a week. And I ran Green Bay Packers patterns. And I was listed as a tight end on the draft, but Zeke threw me all kinds of stuff and kind of showed me what to do and what worked and what didn't. And I was in the best shape of my life in the last day we practiced together before we broke up and went our separate ways. Zeke said to me, you know, I've worked with you now for close to 3.5 months, and you can play for the Green Bay Packers. And I said, what? He said, we love big receivers. We'll figure out a way to get you on the field and get you the ball. I'm going to tell our coaches that if they see the name Trumpy released by the Cincinnati Bengals, give this kid a shot. And I leave there with a mountain of psychological goodness from the backup quarterback to Green Bay, to Bart Starr at the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah.
So when I went to camp, I thought I had a leg up on everybody else because Zeke Bratkowski, he thought I could play in the NFL. This was the AFL, but it really helped. It did, and I've thanked Zeke 1,000 times since.
I'm sure it helped. And despite the mayhem you talked about at that first Bengals training camp, to go to a camp where Paul Brown is in charge and Bill Walsh is on the staff, you had to feel like you guys were in pretty good hands in those early years.
Oh, yeah. There's no question about that, and none whatsoever. And Paul laid it out plainly, clearly, what we were up against as prospects and what he was expecting. And that was the good part about it. And the first training camp, we were there from the 2nd of July till the 2nd of September. So that's 2 months.
Wow.
We worked out twice a day when we didn't have a preseason game. And they tried to beat the crap out of us twice a day to get rid of guys, you know?
Yeah.
The first year, I had 6 roommates. And they cut the other 6, and I lasted. So it was mayhem.
Wow. Bob Trumpy is our guest. He's going to be honored by the Pro Football Hall of Fame for his broadcasting career. I have one more question, though, about your football.
Wait a minute. There's something I got to tell you.
Yeah.
I did a lot of games, and I've done a bunch of these radio interviews, and they always ask me, is there one game you remember? And the one game I do remember above all else took place in Buffalo. You may have been in the stadium when I can't remember exactly when this was, but it was, I think it was 88, and it was around Thanksgiving, and Don Kroenke and I are doing the game, and you guys beat the Jets in overtime to make it to the playoffs.
Oh, yeah, yep.
And the fans stormed the field, tore down the goalposts, and there was so much celebrating going on the field, there was a cloud produced.
Yeah.
Over Rich Stadium. Do you remember that?
I was there. I broadcast that game on the radio. There's a famous picture of that cloud that you talk about in the Bills.
Yeah, I think Scott Burstall's got that in his office.
Yep, you were there.
And of all the games I did, I mean, there's a lot of them, a lot of things happen. That's one that, top of my list, I will never forget.
Yeah, great game.
Now, what was your question?
Well, I was going to ask you about your one more question about your playing career before the broadcasting. When you talked about a hybrid, it sounds like you could identify what the Saints' Jimmy Graham just went through the last couple of months.
What a terrible dilemma he's in. Is he going to make $15 million or is he going to make $7
million? Yeah, tough.
You know, I'd have played for half of that.
Bob, what got you into broadcasting? I heard a story about the great Charlie Jones who told you that you're going to have a future in that.
Yeah, you do pregame interviews with players just to be more comfortable with them. Charlie Jones did one when he was doing a Bengals game, and he said, you know, you'd be good in this business. And I said, really, why? And he said, well, you have a voice like mine. And voices like ours should be in the broadcast booth doing sports. So that kind of gave me the idea. And then, again, a trip to Southern California in the off season, and I hear Bill Russell doing a sports talk show in Los Angeles. And it sounded like he was having a great time. He wasn't very good, but he had a great laugh, and it sounded like he was having a great time. So I came back to Cincinnati and sold it to a radio station. They bought it. I thought it was a good idea, and I started out doing 1 hour a night, one night a week, and then it was 1 hour a night, 3 nights a week, and then when I retired, it was 3 hours a night, 5 nights a week on a 50,000-watt station.
Wow.
We heard from half of Canada. And then a director for NBC, that sports director for NBC that lived in Cincinnati, we were kind of buddies, and he said, let's do a tape. I'll send it into New York. And they hired me, and 21 years later, they got rid of me.
It's a pretty good track record.
Hey, how's Paul McGuire? Do you see him at all?
I have not seen him in a while. In fact, I reached out to him a couple of months ago and couldn't get a hold of him. He spends
When you get a hold of him, tell him I said hello.
I will. He spends half his time down in South Carolina, and I believe he's in town here during the summer. In fact, I played at his golf club, Wanaka, the other day. I was kind of looking around for him. Hey, I want to ask you about another Buffalo guy.
Sure.
You probably worked as many games with the great Don Criqui as you did with anybody in broadcasting. Was he your number one partner, do you think?
Yeah. He and Berg and Costas are the three that I work with the most. And, you know, Criqui's from Kenmore.
Yes, he
never
is.
Failed to remind me of that.
Yep.
And he called the other day to congratulate me. He's on the list. And there were two seasons when NBC had the Monday night radio thing that Jack Buck and Hank Stram used to do for CBS. NBC got it and gave it to Criqui and I. In that two-season span, Don Criqui and I did television on Saturday late in the season, and then they had the Monday night broadcast. We also did a Hall of Fame game. We did the Pro Bowl. We did the Orange Bowl. And Don's wife, Molly, kept all of his credentials from all those games. And she put them in a frame, and there were 94 of them. We did 94 football games in two seasons.
Wow.
On television and radio, and we never missed a flight.
That's good. You worked two Super Bowls on television with Dick Enberg, the two Bills Super Bowl losses to
the
Dallas.
Bills there?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Exactly. That had to be kind of a letdown to get all prepped up to do those games, and in neither game against the Cowboys, the Bills.
And especially since we had we'd done the Bills so much that both of those seasons, because they were the class of the conference, and we had great hopes for them, and it was awful. Yeah, you want. In fact, I did four Super Bowls as the primary color guy. Two on television, two on radio. The two on radio were Giants Denver and Bears New England. I did four of them, and they were all blowouts. It was no fun.
No. Well, the last time I checked, they honored you at the Civic Dinner on Friday night on Hall of Fame weekend. Is that how it's going to work in a couple of weeks, Bob?
There's a big dinner where all the players are introduced. And then the next day, the induction ceremony takes place at Fawcett Stadium. That's on Saturday.
Yep.
And congratulations to Andre Reed. Well-deserved.
Yep, we're going to be down there. Congratulations to you. It's a great tribute for your 30 years in broadcasting, and thank you very much for coming on the air with us tonight to talk about it.
My pleasure.
Bob Truppi, he is the winner this year of the Pete Rozelle Radio and Television Award. It goes to the Pro Football Hall of Fame to recognize longtime exceptional contributions to radio and TV and professional football. Bob Truppi, great playing career as well, 10 years as a player, Pro Bowls four times, including his first 3 years in the NFL. Outstanding player and a Hall of Fame broadcaster. Take a break. Come back with more of the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. Live tonight from One Bills Drive, this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
This is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Boy, I really enjoyed talking with Bob Truppi. I really did. I mean, I could have gone on much longer than we were up against the clock. But he was outstanding. Really, a really good player, too. Did I say that? I think I mentioned that. He was a Pro Bowler four times, including three of his first 4 years in the league. And as he said, he was a hybrid, you know, a tight end, receiver. Did a little bit of everything. He did have the good fortune of playing with, you know, I didn't get a chance to ask him about Greg Cook. And longtime AFL fans will remember the Bengals' super talented quarterback, Greg Cook, who had a serious injury and could never really fulfill his potential. But really great talking with Bob Truppi, both about his playing career and about his broadcast career. 30 years broadcasting radio, television, He set a talk show in Cincinnati, and the winner this year of the Pete Rozelle Radio and Television Award, he'll be honored at the Pro Football Hall of Fame in a couple of weeks. We're going to talk about the Pro Football Hall of Fame with Joe Horrigan, Vice President of Communications and Exhibits for the Hall. He'll be joining us in the next hour. We're going to talk some fantasy football in the next hour as well. And we want to revisit our topic that we started the show with, sleepers for the Buffalo Bills as they head to training camp. By sleepers, we mean the players who might not be on everybody's radar right now, but will be a couple of weeks into training camp, as far as people who will challenge for a roster spot or even people who will challenge to be big contributors. We've got phone lines open if you want to contribute to that. 803-0550, the number. We're toll-free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. Going to read you some of the tweets that have come in on this already. Billy Zwolinski Jr. tweets, "My sleeper is Ramsey's Barden, big receiver. What happened to him in New York, why he didn't get more time to play." Connie tweets in, "I have to go with PB number two, which is Preston Brown, Bill's third-round pick, as my big impact sleeper this year." Jake Petty tweets, "Duke Williams, Searcy, will someone separate for the strong safety position? Also, Bryce Brown, how will he affect CJ, Freddie, Buddy, Booby, rather?" Tim Huggins tweets in, "Dustin Hopkins, a kicker, when healthy, seemed to be desirable for the staff and capable of at least competing with Carpenter." I think that's fair to say. So a couple of interesting sleeper picks there. We'll talk about that more in the next hour as too. These are issues that will take, I would think, you know, a couple of weeks to be sorted out. But about, let's say, after a couple of preseason games around about mid-August, you would think that we'll have a pretty good sense of who the sleepers are, the guys who have shown well. By mid-August, the Bills will have two preseason games under their belts and a number of practices, including the joint practices with the Pittsburgh Steelers in mid-August. So the sleepers will emerge. There's no question about that. They always do. And we'll get back to that topic in the second hour of the show. Second hour of the show includes more talk about the Pro Football Hall of Fame and some talk also about the about fantasy football and an early look at the Buffalo Bills and who some of the fantasy standouts might be for the Bills in the upcoming season. So that's coming up next. One more hour to go. The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. Live tonight from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
And this crowd is on its feet, and it is pandemonium. And that's only the half of it.
He's got Goodwin open in the end zone. Touchdown! Touchdown! Flash Goodwin!
I like this kind of party, baby!
Halftime is over. We're back with more of the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO.
You can't stop CJ Spiller. You can't stop him. How did he do it? How did he do it?
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, supplying natural gas and electricity to thousands of homes and businesses across Western New York.
Everybody's on their feet in the stands.
This crowd has absolutely whipped into a frenzy.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Second hour of the show. We've talked a lot about the Hall of Fame with Bob Trumpy. We're going to continue that discussion. We are 3 days away, as you know, from our first broadcast from Bills training camp. Report day is Friday this week. We are just 18 days away from the Hall of Fame Enshrinement Weekend at the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio. The Enshrinement Festival is days away, and joining us on the line to talk about it, the Vice President of Communications and Exhibits for the Pro Football Hall of Fame and a good friend of our show, Joe Horrigan. Joe, thanks for being on with us tonight. How are you tonight?
I'm great, Murph. It's great to be with you.
We just got done with Bob Trumpy last hour, who is really excited about winning the Pete Rozelle Award this year. He said he had no idea. That's probably the best way to win an award like that, when you don't even see it coming.
Well, you know, you never want to blindside a tight end because he's liable to clock you. But Bob is such a great guy and so deserving of the honor. And, you know, we forget always, often, just how good a football player he was. Yeah. You know, he was a great tight end.
You know, but you may want to, when you see him in a couple of weeks, he mentioned to us on the show that his most memorable game to broadcast, believe it or not, even with the Super Bowls, his most memorable game was a regular season game in Buffalo late 1988 season when the Bills beat the Jets in overtime to clinch the AFC East Division title. Remember that game, that late season game in the fog
absolutely.
Here in Orchard
Park?
Yeah,
and I'm surprised that that's on his top of his list. You'd have thought it had something to do with the Cincinnati Bengals or something, but no,
right.
That's great to hear.
Well, of course, it's going to be a big Buffalo theme to the Enshrinement Festival and Enshrinement Weekend coming up in a couple of weeks. But really, the whole process starts very shortly, right? I mean, coming up very shortly this week, what did I see? You have a balloon classic,
yeah,
I guess,
yeah.
Right?
We're, you know, this, for us in Northeast Ohio, up in Canton here, or down in Canton from Buffalo, it's more like a Mardi Gras season, you know, for pro football. This starts very early, but runs right through, you know, sequence of a lot of events. The hot air balloon liftoff is what you were talking about, but then there's a, you know, various fireworks shows and concerts and parades and all sorts of things, all celebrating really the main event, which is the enshrinement ceremony and then the Hall of Fame game and the gold jacket presentation, which sometimes I think it's overlooked by fans. It is one of the best events you'll ever want to see, and it's going to be televised for the first time nationally on NFL Network this year. But it really is it's the Friday before the enshrinement ceremony, so the guys are there, and it's a really high energy but kind of a stoic presentation. Nobody speaks. I mean, the Hall of Famers don't speak. We have, you know, MCs and so on, but it's where the presenter, which has been selected by the Hall of Famer himself, someone who means something to him either personally or professionally or whatever, actually puts his gold jacket on him. And it's kind of that first symbol of the three iconic symbols of being elected to the Hall, the gold jacket, the bronze bust, and his Hall of Fame ring. This is the first one he gets, and it's kind of like, oh, man, this is really happening. This is the, you know, I've got the gold jacket now. So it's really a really nice event, but that's on Friday night, and that, you know, like I say, is one of my favorite events of the year.
You know, Joe, 10 years ago I was at that gold jacket dinner when that went on, and that was also the time when our friend Van Miller was won the Pete Rozelle Award, and you can attest to this. He basically brought the house down with his speech.
He stole the show. My God, we should have given him a gold jacket right then and there. I mean, he was his usual entertaining self.
Now, is that event open to the public, the Enshrinees Gold Jacket Dinner?
Yeah, it is, and as I understand it right now, there are still some tickets available, so if people are coming down for the Saturday enshrinement, they might want to think about coming a day early and attending the Gold Jacket dinner.
Really okay, so that's Friday, August 1st at the Canton Civic Center and Cultural Center. Things really get warmed up the following day with a parade in the morning and then the enshrinement ceremony. Tell us about that.
Well, the enshrinement ceremony is something that's really grown from a quaint on-the-front-steps sort of celebration to this now massive major event on the sporting calendar, and to be candid, it really took a giant leap forward back a few years ago when Jim Kelly was elected to the Hall of Fame, and that really occurred because we knew there was going to be such a big influx of his fans. You know, it was a long time, you know, drought in the world of Hall of Famers from Buffalo being recognized. So with Jim's following and the strong support of that era team that Andre Reed is now being recognized for, we knew we had to leave the front steps and move into our stadium next door. And we weren't disappointed. We had about 17,000 people show up from Buffalo, which was a great event. But ever since then, it has continued to grow. The stage we use now runs from one sideline to the other. It has giant jumbotron screens. We've done all sorts of enhancements. It's like a U2 concert for football. And, again, it's televised by both ESPN and NFL Network, and it's just an amazing thing. It really, aside from the fact that there's such a Buffalo flavor this year, you know, I expect that all the Bills Hall of Famers will be here, Thurman and Bruce and Jim and Marv. Marv obviously is presenting Andre. It's just going to be a heavy, heavy dose of Buffalo.
Yeah, it's one of the great things of all the Hall of Fame events I've been to. The fans for each team show out in force, and when you're close to Canton, like maybe fans from Cleveland or Pittsburgh or Buffalo, that even makes it more fun because there are legions of fans. There will be, I would think, legions of Buffalo Bills fans coming up in a couple of weeks in Canton.
Yeah, we're hearing from a lot of them, obviously, and, you know, it is one of those things, too, where, you know, we know there will be families showing up the day of, and, you know, we're selling tickets now, but we anticipate that we'll even be selling them on the day of. I can't guarantee that, but some will expect to be able to walk up and get them. But it is one of those things, Murph, where the whole atmosphere here, you know, is just transformative. It's, you know, that we convert all of our property, all of our campus here into a giant fair, if you will. There's, you know, tailgate parties and events, and gosh, we've got beer sales in the stadium now. I mean, it really has gone into a football carnival-like atmosphere. But it all becomes very, very serious when they start with those speeches. And that's where we say even big guys cry. So it can be really, really something special.
The enshrinement ceremony is Saturday night, August 2nd, 7 o'clock, with Andre Reed going in, Walter Jones, Claude Humphrey, Ray Guy, Derek Brooks, Michael Strahan, Aeneas Williams. They'll all be inducted. By the way, are you surprised that, maybe you aren't surprised, Ray Guy going in as a punter? What did you think of that, Joe, and
I've
long overdue?
I've been a big proponent for not just Ray, but the idea of a punter being in the Hall of Fame, and as Ray, I'm sure, will say in his speech, that the team is now complete. We have a full team. We can play. I just think that, you know, that you have to look at this is the, you know, the ultimate team sport, and everybody contributes. And you can't say that, you know, that you can talk about, you know, Hall of Famers and, you know, as players and eliminate a position. You know, it's an important position. And Ray kind of epitomized, if there was going to be a first punter, Ray would probably be the guy it should be. And obviously that held true. But, you know, he, as a punter, literally changed games. I mean, he put the term hang time into the game. He used the coffin corner. And these were things that, you know, he wasn't just back there booming out, you know, out of danger's harm's way. He was there with a strategic placement of the ball, with a hang time that allowed, you know, the special teams to do their job. So this was a guy that, you know, had an impact on the game and the way it was played. So obviously you have to acknowledge that, and I think if we're going to acknowledge a punter, the first one, we got the right guy.
Yeah. Hey, Joe, since the election of these Hall of Famers this year's class, Ray Guy, Andre Reed, et cetera, that was early February. What's life been like for those guys? I mean,
It's a real good question, Murph. I was literally on the phone with Derek Brooks today, you know, just kind of asking him that a little bit, how's it going, you know, and it really, it becomes a there's two phases. Let me put it this way. From when Ray Guy was a nominee as a senior candidate, that's done in August, and he has to wait till February to find out if he's elected. That period of time for him is torture, as it was with Claude Humphrey, the other senior nominee, because everybody's, you know, asking him what if do you think, and so on, and they're trying to put it out of their mind as to whether or not they get elected. Now, the 15 modern era finalists know from January till early February that they're, you know, finalists. So they don't suffer quite as much. But after they're elected, it's kind of like, this sigh of relief. And then all of a sudden, everybody is calling. Everybody, they've got relatives they didn't know they had. You know, that are, A, looking for tickets, or B, just, you know, being congratulatory. But also, all of a sudden, they're back in the limelight. Some of them, like Ray Guy and Claude Humphrey, who've been out for a long time, are suddenly being asked to speak at different events or do autograph sessions. And it's really, you know, I'll use the word transformative for them. You know, I was asking Derek, I says, have things settled down for you at all? He says, no, he says, it's pretty constant, you know, and he says, I'm enjoying it, but he says, I really can't wait to get on that stage and really kind of complete the cycle.
Yeah. You mentioned how, you know, the Hall of Famers are on stage, and one of the highlights, I think, of the enshrinement ceremony is when all of the Hall of Famers are introduced, and typically you have, about 80 previous Hall of Famers that come back for the weekend.
Yeah, we're already at that 80-plus mark, and that's really pretty good because last year was our 50th anniversary when we, you know, we always invite all our Hall of Famers back, but we made a real effort to get as many as we possibly could, and we had a record of 122, I think was the number, that actually came, and we thought, well, there'd probably be a letdown this year because from our usual we get about 75, 80 each year, but so far it's actually ahead of previous years. We'll see 80 plus here, and you know, again, that'll include all of our Bills alumni. So, and then the other thing that also goes with that too, Murph, is we got a lot of what we call NFL legends. These are players that may not be in the Hall of Fame, but they are great players. There's 15 punters coming for Ray Guy.
Oh, neat. That's neat.
So, you know, there's all sorts of other former players that are here to help celebrate the election of teammates and friends.
Yeah, if you were a Hall of Famer already enshrined, why would you not go back to Canton for that weekend? I mean, it's got to make you relive that one of the greatest weekends of your life, I would think.
It does, and you know what it does, too, is, you know, and you know about it, but we have that, what we call the Ray Nitschke Luncheon, where the returning Hall of Famers, who we call Gold Jackets, where the Gold Jackets get in a room, and they talk to the new class, and the new class can't respond. They just sit and listen, and it really is. It borders between funny and serious, but it really is the opportunity for the returning Hall of Famers to talk to the new class about, hey, here are the expectations of a Hall of Famer. You know, this doesn't end here on Saturday. It's just the beginning, and here's what we think we expect from you. And then it becomes a little less formal, and the lies start spreading about, you know, how good they were, and, you know, it grows into the usual, you know, guys sitting around having a good time type of conversation. But it is something that, you know, Ray Nitschke, we named it after him because he held court, and he got in the new class's face every year and told them about, you know, what a unique opportunity this is for them. And then Deacon Jones, who has since passed away too, came up with a phrase that they would always use, and they still use it, and he would talk to the new class, and he would say, look, this is a team you can't be traded from, you can't be cut from, you can't quit, and then Dion Dierdorf added later on, you can't even die off of this team. it's their idea of really telling them what an exclusive fraternity that they belong to. And that's why they come back. They want to hear that.
Talking with Joe Horrigan, he's Vice President Communications and Exhibits for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. We're just 18 days away from the big weekend when, obviously, Andre Reed will be enshrined in that ceremony on Saturday, August 2nd, 7 o'clock. We'll get back to some ticket information, but for Bills fans, for Buffalo Bills fans, the next night is big as well. Their first look at the Bills in the Pro Football Hall of Fame game right in Fawcett Stadium. That's kind of a nice atmosphere there, Joe.
Yeah, it's terrific. It's probably the most intimate stadium you'll ever be in. Mm-hmm. We can only put 22,000 in, and believe me, you're right on top of the field. There isn't a bad seat in the house. And you mentioned the Bills are in the game, but it's also a rematch, if you will, of Super Bowl 25. The New York Giants are the opponent for the Bills. And I was talking to a radio station this morning, John, in Tampa, and they reminded me, you know, they're coming for Derek Brooks enshrinement, but they're reminding me, you know, that Super Bowl 25 was played in our city of Tampa Bay. I thought, my goodness, that's right.
Yeah.
So there's another tie there.
Yeah, we can't forget that. That game, and we were talking earlier tonight on our show about training camp sleepers and who they might be. That's the kind of a game, because there are five preseason games for the Bills, that's the kind of a game where a young player might make a reputation, oh, by the way, on national television that night, too.
Oh, for sure. And, I follow our Bills very closely, and I think this is a game where there's going to be some interesting playing time for a variety of wide receivers with the Bills.
Yeah,
there's such great talent at that position. I think it'll be, you know, regardless of whether this is the first preseason game or not, I think fans will be really pleased with what they see. And obviously, I think that EJ will probably have a little more time in this game than maybe a more vested veteran might. So I think it's going to be really an entertaining game, particularly for a young team like Buffalo.
Well, Joe, let's get down to the nuts and bolts of fans in the Buffalo area listening in tonight. First of all, they should know that we're talking about, what, a 3.5-4 hour drive. That's all to get from Buffalo to Canton.
Yeah, I drive it all the time, as you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're coming from the south side of the city, it's about 3 hours, and 3.5 hours. North side, you might stretch it to four, but it's an easy drive. And there's plenty of hotels down here. We've been the beneficiary of some real expansion of hotel rooms because of the oil and shale business in this area. So not a problem anymore. It used to be more of a problem. But good tickets still remain for the main events, and I'd really like to hear a lot of vocal Bills fans. Andre Reed has been very patient, waiting to have his big day in the sun, and it's here. His teammates will be here, you know, to support him, as well as a lot of fans. So let's see a little red, white, and blue.
So tickets are available for the game itself, for the enshrinement, for some of the other events. Is that right?
That's correct.
And can you buy, there are packages too, I noticed on the website, right? You can buy a package for different events.
Sure, absolutely. And, you know, that in many ways is the best way to go, because if you're really planning on spending the whole weekend, there's a lot of events that, you know, I didn't even mention, but, are certainly worth being a part of. I would recommend that people take a look at the website, see some of the events that aren't as well known, but it was, you know, really pretty exciting and up close and personal type of event. So, I would encourage people to go to the website, see the various packages that are available, but the individual tickets are there as well, and information on how to order them is there. It all can be done online.
And that website is profootballhof.com.
Yes, sir.
Joe, I know you do this every year, and you have various teams, and everybody's excited when they go to the Hall of Fame. But for you, professional that you are, how long have you been at the Hall of Fame, Joe? Years, right?
Oh, gosh, I'm in my 38th year now.
Wow. Do you get a little more excited, given your history, when the Buffalo Bills come to town for this event?
Oh, sure. I mean, it's hard for me not to be. You know, I've remained close to the organization, and certainly, you know, the Super Bowl teams, as you know, coming up every week during the season and helping out with Scott,
sure,
and, you know, and so on. So I have a relationship with all of them. It means more, you know, when you can have a real personal relationship with the guys from their playing careers, you know, as opposed to just as new Hall of Famers. But every class, you know, still gets my adrenaline going. You can't help it. This is a great business to be in. But I particularly, this year, I have some mixed emotions, you know, because Ralph not being here. And I'm so happy that he lived long enough to, have his day in the sun with the enshrinement himself. So, you know, while we're going to miss Ralph being here, it's another big day to have someone from that Super Bowl team that, you know, all Bills fans and Ralph in particular were very proud of. And I know Ralph was, you know, anxious for Andre to get in. And there's a couple other Bills that he used to, or would, you know, remind me that, hey, what about? And I'd always tell him it's a question of if, not when, Ralph, or when, not if. But so, you know, there's a little mixed emotions in him not being here. But to add one more to the Bills roster is real special.
And it sounds like it's going to be a great way to kick off the 2014 season with Andre going in and with the Hall of Fame game on Sunday night. It's really the perfect way to kick off a season, I think.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Joe, and you got a new stadium being, you know, renovated up there. Oh, this is a great year for Buffalo.
It should be. Yeah. I just took a look outside. The construction work has stopped for tonight, but you wouldn't believe it. Wait till you get up here, Joe, and see what's going on. It's pretty amazing.
Well, I can't wait.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks for being with us. We'll see you in a couple weeks.
My pleasure, John. Talk to you soon.
Joe Horgan is Vice President of Communications and Exhibits for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And you heard him say they have tickets available. They're going to get over the next couple of weeks, about 700,000 spectators, but they do have tickets available for virtually every event, including the Hall of Fame enshrinement, Andre Reed and company, on Saturday night, 7 o'clock, inside Fawcett Stadium. They do have tickets available for the next night, the Bills and the Giants in the Pro Football Hall of Fame game. Those tickets are available as well, and the place to go to get them, profootballhof.com. ProFootballHOF.com. They have ticket packages if you want to combine a few events. I'm looking at the website earlier today. They have hotel information, things to do around Canton. As Joe said, 3.5, maybe 3:45 away from Buffalo to Canton, Ohio. We're looking forward to it. It's going to be the complete Bills weekend down there when you think about it. Andre Reed, surrounded by his teammates, and you heard Joe say that Thurman Thomas is expected to be there. Bruce Smith expected to be there. And Jim Kelly expected to be there to honor Andre Reed as he goes into the Hall of Fame. Can't wait. 18 days away. ProFootballHOF.com, the place to go for ticket information and information about all the activities coming up in just a couple of weeks at the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Already a couple of tweets about this. Western New York Bills fan tweets in, "We're ready. Countdown to Canton. Can't wait. Bills fans take over Canton." It's kind of what it will be like. They will, I think, take over Canton. If you look at this year's list of inductees, there are obviously some great inductees going in, but there's no question the Buffalo Bills fans are going to own Canton, Ohio for that weekend between Andre Reed's enshrinement and the Bills-Giants game the following night. And, oh, by the way, we'll have a couple of weeks in of training camp by the time we get to Canton. We're talking about that tonight. Your sleepers for Bills training camp this year. Who would they be? Give us a call. The lines are open right now. Got a few minutes here. 803-0550 is the number. Toll free 1-888-550-2550. You can do it via Twitter at John Murphy Show. Who do you think is not on the radar now that will be a couple of weeks into preseason, say about mid-August? Who do you think it'll be? My pick was undrafted rookie free agent Kenny Ladler from Vanderbilt. Wears number 31, had some good moments during the OTAs and minicamp. Started 39 games at Vanderbilt. 9 interceptions. Held back, wasn't drafted, probably because of his lack of stature. 6 foot tall, 207 pounds. Did not run blazing fast times at the combine. Didn't have real good 40 times. But I think Kenny Ladler, with all of his playmaking ability on display in the SEC at Vanderbilt and all of his the good work that he showed during the spring, I think he has a real chance to make the roster. Our producer Jay Harris threw out the name Ty Powell, linebacker. He'll get a chance now with the injury to Kiko Alonso, a chance to show what he can do. There are others. Chantrell Henderson, the left tackle, the offensive lineman from Miami, I think is a potential sleeper pick. A couple of people mentioned Tony Moiaki. Who is it that you think might not be on anyone's radar now? And I know I can ask this question. I can ask this question because I know our audience is pretty much into this roster, and you know who's on the roster. Who do you think not on anyone's radar now will be a couple of weeks into preseason as either a surprise pick to make the team or a guy who might be a surprise to be a contributor? Give us a call if you have a thought on that. 803-0550 the number. Ian in South Buffalo is on the air with us. Ian, who's your training camp sleeper?
I honestly think Jeff Toole could be a surprise to everybody in Bills Nation.
Tell me why, Ian.
He put in a lot of work in the offseason. When he came in the OTAs, he looked better than Manuel. And I'm a big Manuel supporter. I want the world for him. But I think it's huge that he's taken his role and wants to move up to the backup position. And honestly, a good insurance. It'd be nice to see him shine.
Yeah, I agree. He had a good training camp and preseason performances last year, as you'll recall, and made the team based on what he did in preseason last year. Had the bad moment against Kansas City. Jeff was just on the show with us, I want to say, early on, maybe in OTAs, Jay. I think, was he a telephone guest, I think? And we talked about that, about what he learned and what he'd like to have back. Obviously, he'd like to have that bad moment against Kansas City. Yeah. I'll tell you what, he looks bigger than he did a year ago. He looks like he's put on some bulk and some weight and looks like a much bigger man than he was a year ago. And I do think he's going to be challenged a bit for a roster spot by Dennis Dixon. I think Thad Lewis is entrenched as the number two, and I think it's between Jeff Toole and Dennis Dixon for the number three. I'd give Toole the edge right now, but anything can happen. And fortunately for all of these quarterbacks, there will be plenty of reps to go around with the extra preseason game, the fifth preseason game. Thanks for your call, Ian. Going to take a break, and we're going to turn our attention to fantasy football when we return. Going to talk about some of the Bills' potential standouts in fantasy football. Jamie Eisenberg, who covers fantasy football for CBSSports.com. Coming up next on the show, the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. Live tonight from One Bills Drive, this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
John Murphy Show, live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio. We will be at training camp on Friday night, just three nights away, for a two-hour show, 7 to 9 p.m., as we get ready for the 2014 Buffalo Bills season. A lot of Bills fans in the audience, a lot of fantasy football players, no doubt, in the audience as well. And it's probably not too early to start thinking about your fantasy team. On the line with us live right now is a columnist and on-air personality for CBS Sports and CBSSports.com. Jamie Eisenberg joins us live. Jamie, thanks for coming on the air with us.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Is it, in fact, too early to start thinking about your fantasy football team?
Well, it's never too early to start thinking about it. You know, we wouldn't recommend necessarily drafting now, but, you know, start getting those ideas about which players you like, which players you don't like, and, you know, start thinking about where you want to take those guys on draft day.
Well, you've done a pretty comprehensive survey of fantasy football, or actually rosters, and how they might look, including the Buffalo Bills roster. And the one thing that you came across, that came across from your writing, the fantasy outlooks for 2014, you like what the Bills did going up to get Sammy Watkins at number four overall.
Well, we like offense, you know, when you talk about fantasy football and, you know, whether or not it makes sense for the team long term, you know, was it the right move to make? Are they in that win now mode like you see with some teams like the Falcons were a couple years ago when they made the similar type of trade to go up and get Julio Jones? I think that remains to be seen. But from a fantasy perspective, look, he's the best receiver that was in the draft class. He certainly is a difference maker, a playmaker, a guy that can change an offense, you know, if he does, in fact, live up to the hype. And you know, I think if that's the type of team you're trying to build and you want to, you know, make a statement that we can get the best players, go out and get them, and that's what they did.
This got my attention, Jamie. You're right. Watkins might eventually develop into one of the best receivers in NFL history. That's pretty strong praise for a guy who hasn't played it down yet.
Well, again, you're looking at skill set, you're looking at talent, you're looking at potential. You know, it's just speculation. You know, I think we have to see him, as you said, step on the field and do what he's capable of doing. But somebody's going to eventually have to take the torch from Calvin Johnson, and why not him in a couple of years when Calvin starts to slow down and, you know, maybe some of these other guys don't materialize. So there's definitely an opportunity there for him. Clearly, it's a long way to go before he lives up to that type of hype.
What holds back Sammy Watkins? I mean, you refer to him as a potential mid-round pick in most fantasy leagues. Do you think that's where he would belong?
Well, that's where he's going to go. You know, he's actually somebody I think is probably going to get drafted a little sooner than he probably should, just because rookie receivers tend to struggle, you know, for a variety of reasons. And the quarterback situation there, you know, I think E.J. Manuel is a guy that's got another player with a lot of potential, a lot of upside. But he struggled last year with injuries. He struggled, you know, to put together consistent games and consecutive games of good performances. You know, when you look at, from a fantasy perspective, what the Bills were able to produce from the receiver spot, in a standard league, Robert Woods was their best guy at number 55. So, you know, somebody's got to change the dynamic of that passing game, that receiving core, to help fantasy owners. Steve Johnson used to be a very good fantasy receiver, never really was a great one. And I think that Sammy Watkins could be a great one, but I don't think we're going to see it this year. I think he's one of those guys that could get overdrafted based on name, based on where he was taken in the NFL draft. If you get him more as your third, possibly better as your fourth receiver on your fantasy team, much better situation.
And in fact, Jamie, you're right. I like Watkins better in dynasty formats, which indicates that you think if you get him now, you're kind of it's a future pick. You'd have him for a couple of years, and he might be better down the line.
Oh, without a doubt, he's better in the long-term format. You know, again, you know, we'll see if E.J. Manuel is the long-term answer at quarterback. We'll see if Watkins can step in and play at a high level right away. But I think, you know, down the road, when everything starts to shake out, he understands the NFL, understands coverages. There's a reason you hear the third-year wide receiver theory, you know, talks about whether you're talking NFL or fantasy conversations. It takes receivers time to develop. It takes time to learn the route tree. It takes time to learn how to understand coverage, understand where the quarterback wants you to go, what the system is. And so two or three years, you're going to see the best of Sammy Watkins. This year, though, it's a more of a long-term investment than a short-term thing.
We're live on the line with Jamie Eisenberg. He is the senior fantasy writer for CBSSports.com. You write in your Bills review, your fantasy outlook for the Bills, Jamie, don't give up yet on C.J. Spiller. Do you think some fantasy owners might be tempted to give up on C.J. based on what happened last year?
Oh, without a doubt. You know, fantasy owners are a fickle bunch. You know, it's typically, what have you done for me lately?
Yeah.
And he was drafted as a top five pick. You know, and I think it was justified based on the way that he played in 2012. You know, the thought was, can Fred Jackson stay healthy? You know, prior to last year, he had played, I think, 10 games in three consecutive years. You know, had trouble staying on the field. The offensive line was expected to, you know, be a dominant force like we saw a year ago. That didn't necessarily materialize. The quarterback change, you know, thought that that would help some things. And he left a lot of people, you know, feeling, you know, kind of down, understandably, because he wasn't the performer that you drafted in the first round and didn't reap that benefit. I got a chance. I went to the owners' meetings this year, and Doug Marrone said something that I think, you know, probably myself and a lot of other people, you know, overlooked a little bit, was the knee injury in the preseason. You know, that may have lingered a little bit early into the year, and then, as we all know, the ankle injury really slowed him down. So I think the value this year is going to be much better, because you're talking about, you know, a third, fourth round pick, depending on how your league is, how your draft goes. He's going to be more of a number two fantasy running back, as we like to say, not necessarily a number one elite level guy. He has elite level talent, as we saw 2 years ago. If he can get back to that, then it's great. And you're probably going to end up, you know, feeling very good about your fantasy team, if not great, because of that guy. But he could also turn around and play like he did last year. Fred Jackson's still there. They add Bryce Brown. Could be a tough situation for him if things don't go his way.
Jamie, you mentioned his partner back there, Fred Jackson, who was, what, 10th in fantasy running backs last year. You don't expect that kind of production to continue this year?
Well, you know, a year older, he did a great job, as you guys are certainly well aware, of fighting through the injuries, you know, the knee problem that he was dealing with. And, you know, that probably would have knocked him out for a few games, as we saw the previous seasons. Last year, he gutted through it and played at a very high level. In terms of his fantasy production. But, you know, you're hearing the things, I'm sure the things that I'm reading, you guys are dealing with firsthand about Bryce Brown maybe cutting into his role. Obviously, you know, with the it's hard to fall for what the coaches are saying about C.J. Spiller, because that's what really made me buy in last year, about feeding him the ball until he throws up. But they are talking about his workload, you know, being up there in the 15 to 20 carry range, or 15 to 20 touch range. Obviously, if Bryce Brown's getting work and C.J. Spiller's doing what he's supposed to, that's clearly going to impact Fred Jackson. So this is a guy, I think, you know, maybe the last year in the NFL, certainly the last year in Buffalo, just based on contract. So I think you'll have some good moments, if not great moments, if Spiller falters or does get hurt. But clearly he's not going to be number 10, if not even in the top 30 of running backs this year.
Hey, Jamie, in your fantasy outlook for the Bills, you include a paragraph, a couple of lines on schedule analysis, which I found very interesting. Do you do that for all the teams? And can you talk about how the schedule plays out for a fantasy player who might be interested in some of these Buffalo Bills?
Sure. You know, the thing about the schedule, which I'm never a big fan of it, you know, it's something that they want us to do just because, you know, it gives people an idea of, you know, kind of the early part of the season and the late part of the season, which I think is something that fantasy owners should buy into, because, you know, if you're facing, you know, a daunting schedule toward the end of the year, clearly that's going to impact when you're trying to, you know, win a fantasy championship, or certainly, you know, make some noise in the fantasy playoffs. And the early part of the season, you know, you should have an indication of what defense look like. But we see year over year the way that the NFL is, and certainly the parity, that teams that look good on paper don't necessarily always materialize. So, you know, I think we could all sit here and say the Seahawks are probably going to have the best defense in the NFL because they're young, they were great a year ago, but you never know what an injury or two can do. And certainly a lot of people, probably based on what happened in 2012, you know, in your backyard, that Buffalo was supposed to be great. Well, it didn't necessarily come to the level that it was supposed to be. Last year they turned around and had a fantastic year defensively. So it's just interesting to see how it all plays out.
We're on the line with Jamie Eisenberg, senior fantasy writer for CBS Sports. I have a couple more questions for you, Jamie, and you're just a few days removed, what, last Friday, from your first fantasy football mock draft, you and some other fantasy football experts. You know, in a league where the running game is supposed to be, the importance is diminishing, why is it that, you know, Peterson, Charles, McCoy, Forte, why do all these running backs go so early in fantasy drafts?
Well, I think you kind of answered your own question without even knowing it, is that there's so few of those guys that if you can grab onto one of them, that's going to really set your team apart from the teams that are sort of playing mix and match at that position on a week-to-week basis, because receiver is so deep. There's so much talent at the receiver position. There's so much talent at the quarterback position. If you can get 2, 3, 4 stud running backs, you know, this is why, you know, I still advocate taking C.J. Spiller early, even though there's a lot of cause for concern. If you can latch on to one of these guys or two of these guys, or again, you know, as many as you possibly get, and they hit, well, then you're talking about not only having the depth, but you're having two guys that could carry your team if you get the right quarterback and right, you know, stable of receivers. So if you're able to take one of those guys that are three down backs, you know, catch the ball, work at the goal line, certainly going to be in the 20 carry range, your team is really set up to have a good season. So I know it's a passing league. You know, we saw Peyton Manning and the Broncos set all those records a year ago, but you know what? Marshawn Lynch and the Seahawks won the Super Bowl. So
yeah.
It kind of shows you that you can still run the ball and have success, not only in the NFL, but also in fantasy.
In your fantasy football mock draft from last Friday, 10-team league, you had Peyton Manning go in the first round, and then another quarterback, by my count, was not drafted until the third round when Drew Brees went. Is that right?
Yeah, I think the draft you're referring to is actually, I do these drafts with users, so I don't know if that's necessarily okay. One you want to use in terms of, you know, experts, but we actually did a draft this past week as well. Peyton Manning went in the second round. Usually you're going to see most quarterbacks go in the first round. The first two rounds was where you'll see the three elite guys of Manning, Brees, and Aaron Rodgers, and then it could be a little bit of a lull, but that next group of Matthew Stafford, Matt Ryan, Nick Foles, Colin Kaepernick, Tony Romo, Tom Brady, you know, there's a whole host of guys, which is why I was saying quarterback is so deep. You're able to sort of wait and still get a very good guy. It's not going to be Peyton Manning. It may not be Brees or Rodgers, but there are a lot of quarterbacks that have an opportunity to have some big years this year.
Jamie, it appears there is no end in sight to the fantasy football craze. I mean, it might be as popular as ever right now. Is that correct?
Oh, sure. I mean, you know, obviously we feel like we do a very good job at CBSSports.com, but many other sites, you know, from the big ones to the small ones, you know, they're not only, you know, having a good game that you could play, but also, you know, certainly much more content that you can digest. It's growing year over year. You know, the things that are happening with technology, you know, you could watch videos that we put out on your cell phone. Obviously, you know, you can check out everything on your computer. But, the bigger the NFL gets, the bigger fantasy gets, and certainly we only hope that it continues, because otherwise I'll be out of a job, which I would not be happy about.
No end in sight. Hey, Jamie, thanks. Hope we can do this again sometime.
My pleasure, and good luck to your team this year.
Thanks a lot. Jamie Eisenberg, he is a fantasy football senior fantasy writer for CBSSports.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Jamie Eisenberg. He is a columnist and on-air personality for CBS Sports and CBSSports.com, and he's done a fantasy outlook for, I guess, essentially every team in the NFL, including the Buffalo Bills. Take a break. Get back. We'll have time for more phone calls if you want to weigh in on which Bills players might be your sleeper going into training camp later this week. Phone lines are open, 803-0550, the number. We're toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. I've got my guy. My sleeper is Kenny Ladler, the safety from Vanderbilt, the rookie. Let's hear what you think. Give us a call. The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. Tonight, live from One Bills Drive, this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
This is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Thanks again to Jamie Eisenberg, cousin of Jesse Eisenberg, big Hollywood star. I didn't want to mention that. Well, Jamie, anyway, you know, Jamie's made his own mark in the world, didn't he? You know, would you want to be reminded all the time who your cousin was, Jay Harris?
Well, it depends on who it is.
Yeah.
But
Jesse Eisenberg, pretty good actor, right? He's in that Facebook movie. What's the name of that? Social Network?
Yeah, The Social Network.
Never saw that. Is that a good movie?
I've never seen it either. But I've seen other roles he's been a part of, and I think he's a pretty good actor. So
Jesse, or Jamie, is his brother, and happy to have Jamie on with us to talk about fantasy football.
Yeah, we're talking about football on this show, so thank you, Jamie.
We don't need Jesse.
Yeah,
we got Jamie.
Need Jesse.
Yeah, but that was fun. If you missed portions of our show, you can always go back and pick it up on the website, buffalobills.com. You may want to listen to Joe Horrigan, Vice President of Communications for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He was on with us earlier on this hour to talk about the enshrinement ceremony. Tickets, good tickets still available. And as we said, all you have to do is go to profootballhof.com. If you're looking for game tickets, if you're looking for any one of the enshrinement ceremonies, including the gold jacket ceremony on Friday night, it's only a couple of weeks away now, the whole thing. And earlier in the night, I really enjoyed all of our interviews, but I really enjoyed talking with Bob Trumpy, who's going to be honored by the Pro Football Hall of Fame with the Pete Rozelle Radio Television Award. And again, if you missed that, you can go back to buffalobills.com and pick up what you may have missed. We're talking a lot tonight about Bills training camp. Friday's the report day. The rookies, actually, and some selected veterans will be in here tomorrow. But Friday's the report day, and then they're on the field on Sunday night. All around the NFL, the Bills obviously getting the jump because they have that extra game. The New York Giants Let's see. I'm looking it up now. Their report day is next week, next Monday. So the Bills get a couple of day jump on the New York Giants. There was one other team that I saw that's going in fairly early. I'm just looking now over the list. Let's see. The Giants, as I said, the 21st, next week on Wednesday. The San Diego Chargers go to camp. The Jets go to Cortland for camp. The Patriots on Wednesday. The 23rd is a big report day for many teams. But the Bills, yep, they go to camp earlier than anybody else, at least the veterans do. So that's coming up. And we're talking about the sleepers. Who do you think? Who do you think is going to emerge as either a major contributor for the Bills or is going to win a roster spot? Maybe a guy that's not on anybody's radar. We have full confidence in our listening audience. We know that these are the true Bills fans, the ones who are deep into it, so we can ask this question with a lot of confidence that you know the roster and you know some of the names and some of the key players and some of the guys who maybe the other fans don't know. Who do you think would be the sleepers on the Buffalo Bills roster as they approach training camp? I threw out some names earlier. We had some names tweeted in. I think, Chantrell Henderson got my attention because he did get the first-team reps at left tackle towards the end of the OTAs and minicamp. Obviously, Cordy Glenn was not available to participate, but the fact that the coaching staff thought that much to see what he has, I think, was important. Jay Harris, our producer, mentioned linebacker Ty Powell. I think a guy whose name you'll hear more of now, especially with the injury to Kiko Alonso, there's going to be more reps for Ty Powell. But my pick was Kenny Ladler, the undrafted rookie free agent, the safety from Vanderbilt, who I think had some really good moments during the OTAs and minicamp. I think there are going to be more reps coming his way when they get to training camp later in the week. And I think he's a guy to watch. Is he going to make the roster? I don't know. I would say that for him and any undrafted rookie free agent, it's going to be a bit of a uphill climb, but I think he's definitely a guy to watch based on his record of performance at Vanderbilt and the showing that he had in the first few days of OTAs and minicamp, or in the last few days even. So give us a call. Let us know what you think. We got a tweet here from Robert Vandewey. Do you think it'll be okay to take a 7-year-old to the events at the Hall of Fame? Absolutely. Absolutely, it's okay. Talk about family-friendly. I mean, to answer your tweet, it absolutely is okay, and I think it's a good way to grow fans. The 7-year-old, I mean, does he have an appreciation for NFL history? Probably not, but he will be intrigued, I think, by all of the fans, all of the uniforms, a tour around the Hall of Fame itself, complete with the multimedia presentations they have in there. Just the crowds themselves. I think a 7-year-old who's into pro football or sports of any kind would be very interested in the Pro Football Hall of Fame enshrinement this weekend. Jay Harris, have you ever been to Canada?
I've never been.
What the
heck?
This
is my first year. I'm looking forward to it. I know, out of all the years that I've worked around here and I've been part of, let's see here, Thurman and...
Now, Mr. Wilson just went in 5 years ago along with Bruce Smith.
Yep, Bruce Smith. So there's three. I've always manned the station back at Channel 4 when I worked there, so I never got a chance to go on the road. So I am looking forward to this.
Who was making those decisions at Channel 4?
I think there was a sports director, John something. John.
Well, it'll be good to have you down there. I think I know you are a student of pro football history. You're going to love it.
Yes.
You're going to love it,
though. Yes.
We're looking
absolutely
forward to it. Going down there in a couple of weeks. We're going down to training camp by the end of this week. Got a good show lined up tomorrow night. The Bills highlight film for 2013. Insert your smart aleck remarks now. The highlight film comes out tomorrow. We'll talk with the producer tomorrow night. Clark Judge, longtime NFL observer, will join us tomorrow. And we're going to talk about the setup of training camp with Dr. Todd Harrison of St. John Fisher College. All of that tomorrow night on the show. We want to thank our presenting sponsor, NOCO, family-owned, locally operated since 1933. Explore what NOCO can do for you at NOCO.com. Mike Jafari, our engineer, producer Jay Harris, Bills Director of Broadcasting Jeff Matthews. See you tomorrow night at 7 with the John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.